Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you on this Sunday, the 21st of July. Once again, the congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, together with its supporters, are pleased to bring you this broadcast of the Word of Grace on CGMQ. We come to you from the heart of Eastern Townships. My name is Nigel Parker, and I have the privilege of being the minister of St. Andrew's Church. Words from Psalm 13 ask questions, but also bring hope. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me.
I come to thee, sweet.
God of wonder and glory, this world around us is awesome. You created it, and you continue to hold it together, even as we threaten to tear it apart. God of justice and righteousness, to you we look for the truth, for you are the ultimate judge. Your wisdom cuts through the lies. God of grace and mercy, the love you have shown us in Jesus is more than we deserve. Your arms are open wide, like a waiting father for his prodigal children, ready to welcome and restore. We come to you, thirsting for your living water. Guide us to the streams of your wonder and glory, your justice and righteousness, your grace and mercy, that we may drink and be satisfied, renewed for our continuing journey with Jesus. Merciful God, we hide from the genuine nature of our relationships, glossing over disputes and disruptions, instead of confronting actual hurts and with compassionate listening and understanding. Our apologies focus on the feelings of others caused by our actions and words instead of our actions and words themselves. We escalate petty differences into moral outrage in a personal quest for self-importance. And while we may serve with great integrity, we are resentful of those who do not meet our standards. Help us to come to ourselves. Forgive us for the sins we name. Save us from what we hide. God is faithful and reconciles us to himself through Jesus Christ. We are a new creation in Christ. In God's righteousness we have our true hiding place. And now we are commissioned to be ambassadors for Christ to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our reading is from Psalm 120. In my distress I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with coals of the broom tree. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Amen. This is camping season. One of my church members goes off to the campgrounds, as she calls it, with her family. It's what she does every year and thoroughly enjoys it. In my British naivety, I asked her what kind of camping it is. I can't remember quite what I asked her, but I sort of expected her to say, well, it was a big family tent with a fly sheet and a camp bed on the ground. And she looked at the ground rather sheepishly and smiled and said, actually, it's a 38-foot recreational vehicle that we hook up to mains electricity. And the Boy Scout in me ranted against it. That's not camping, surely. And we laughed. But whenever someone says to me, I've gone camping, then I do not entertain visions of campfires, but rather gas-powered barbecues. Psalm 120 is a camping psalm. But the man does not like this particular form of camping. Woe is me, that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. There are apparently six common reasons why people hate camping. You can hate camping, one, because you're not a planner. Two, you're not organized. Three, you don't have the right gear. Four, you don't like going off-grid. Five, you don't like camping food. And six, you're uncomfortable. Well, this psalmist is not a happy camper. He might be well fed, he might even have a comfortable bed, but he's in the midst of a raucous, rowdy campsite, and he's certainly off-grid so far as his moral health is concerned. He is lost and unprepared for where he is at. This psalm is the first of 14 psalms that are songs of the ascents, pilgrim songs that people in ancient times would sing as they went up to Jerusalem for festivals. This is the first psalm of the beginning of the journey, if you like. Where is he? Well, if we looked on a map, we would find that Meshech and Kedar are at opposite ends of the country. Meshech is way to the north of Jerusalem, maybe even around Turkey, and Kedar is way to the south in the Arabian desert. But there are both a long way from the life with God represented by the temple in Jerusalem. Meshech and Kedar are not so much geographical places, but a state of mind. This man is a long way from God. I think he's feeling trapped. He's feeling closed in. I think that because it may not jump out, but that first verse that says, "In my distress," well, that word distress comes from a root word meaning narrow or confined. I get the picture that the psalmist is feeling like the walls of his life are beginning to close in on him. He's frustrated because of the lying and the deception around him. He's frustrated because the violent conditions of his society that are there. Eugene Peterson's Message translation says, "Deliver me from the liars, God. They smile so sweetly, but they lie through their teeth." That gives you a little bit of flavour about what this writer's going through. And where does this psalm fit in with that? The fellow seems so discontent, so dissatisfied. How does it fit in to getting involved with the pilgrimage, of journeying to Jerusalem, of going to the place where God dwells? Why does change happen? Because change has to happen. If you're in a leadership position and you're trying to make change happen, you've got to make people want to change in order to make change. This man realizes that he's dissatisfied, he's frustrated, he's angry. And that's what motivates him to start thinking, there's got to be something better, there's got to be something more. Only as we are discontented, dissatisfied with our surroundings or our circumstances, will we long for something better, will we start moving towards God's best. There are shockwaves throughout the United States in the aftermath of the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. A deep concern as to how did we get here? Why are things so polarized? And we caution ourselves that we don't do too much better in Canada when political leaders of liberal and conservative try and tear lumps out of each other. Surely there's something better than this, asks the psalmist. They are for war, I am for peace. The psalmist is like the prodigal son or the lost son of Jesus' story in Luke 15. When he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" The psalmist has gone off to a calf. 3, 2, 1. The psalmist has gone off to a far country, like the tents of Meshech or Kedar, and he thinks life would have been great on the outside. But it all goes wrong, and he comes to himself. "Lord, where's all the stuff I expected? Why do I live in a world that seems so violent? Why do people lie so much? Why? Eugene Peterson has a great quote. "The dissatisfaction, coupled with a longing for peace and truth, can set us on a pilgrim path of wholeness in God. A person has to get fed up with the ways of the world before he or she acquires an appetite for the world of grace. And the first step towards God is a step away from the lies of the world. It's a renunciation of the lies we've been told about ourselves, our neighbours, and our universe." James chapter 3 says, "The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell." We live in a world which we are held captive by false truth, fake news, by the violence of uncontrolled tongues, tongues set on fire by rulers and powers and spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, from the White House to the schoolhouse into our homes. But listen to the wisdom of Scripture. "The churning of milk produces butter, and pressing the nose brings forth blood. So the churning of anger produces strife." The book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 31. The psalmist has had enough. Sometimes things are so bad, all you can do is lament to God about how bad things are, like Psalm 13 does. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" There's a place for that, and it's in the prayer relationship of the Christian to his or her God. "This is bad, Lord," we can say. "This makes me sad, Lord," we can say. "This makes me mad, Lord," we can say. And in telling these things to God, we guard our souls from bitterness and set a guard on our lips from speaking in a way that would be harmful to someone else. And God hears and God answers. God hears when we go to him, even when our verbiage is a little rough. God hears and God answers. I can't tell you what the answer may be. In fact, when we go to this psalm, I'm convinced as we look at it that God's answer to this person is not actually in this psalm. The answer lies elsewhere, in the very being, in the heart of God, in the God who's made himself known in Jerusalem, in the God who's made himself known in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's where the psalmist is headed. Let's journey with him in these coming weeks. Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for you are always seeking the lost and rescuing the enslaved. You created the earth and called forth its crops. In the days of your servant Joshua, you led your people into a new land, and they celebrated with them as they tasted its first fruits. But in Jesus Christ, the old has gone and the new has come. In him you have sought us out and welcomed us to your table. When those who resented your grace crucified him, you raised him to new life, and through him you are reconciling the world to yourself. And at the first sign of repentance, you run to us with your arms open, with your heart full of compassion. And though we squander our birthright, you lay the table with the richest food and wine to celebrate our restoration to your life. Holy and gracious God, you the one of prodigal grace, we give you thanks for the gift of life and for the blessings of this life, for family and friends and love abundant. Lead us through the trials, the suffering and sorrows, the challenges and the struggles, the tired time, despair and bleak places, back to you, and love abundant. Be with those who weep or cannot sleep, who have no peace, who seek release, and comfort them with love abundant. Fill us with hope, sustained in your mercy, with patience and stamina, upheld by your Holy Spirit in your prodigal grace. Transform us and all our broken ways. Transform us that we can be made whole. And in the wholeness may we be the hands and heart of Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.